IPP Services in association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, number 173. And with me this week is Matthew Kressel.
Oh. So that's why you attacked the moon base.
Robert Haynes.
Sorry, we had to make it a pretty big one.
That's what she said. Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
They had a full metal breakdown.
Mary Ooh. Lang.
Go down, Toberman.
That's what she said. And Reese Parton. Mary.
Would you look at the size of that one, Doctor?
That's what she said. Right then. This week, amongst other things, we're going to be talking about Tomb of the Cybermen. Now, as you may have noticed, I was a bit stressed out when I connected to you earlier on. That's what she said.
I'm pretty stressed out now.
What happened was the tickets for the official 50th anniversary Doctor Who convention went on sale. Well, pre-sale, about an hour before I recorded the show. And I've been flapping around trying to get tickets for the 23rd of November. And Deb wanted us to get the VIP tickets. They sold out before, for Christ's sake. Yes? Yes? What? Just stand there. I've not got much time.
I'm
sorry?
Happy.
Why aren't you happy?
Because you booked Doctor Who.
I don't care about that. Go away.
No,
I was always going to book Doctor Who. It's a one-off. Harry Potter can be booked at any time. Yeah, it's a 50th anniversary weekend. Yeah. It's going to be Doctor Who, isn't it?
Yes.
Anyway, yes. So basically, I wanted to get VIP tickets for this particular convention, but they sold out within a minute. And
But are they pricey?
The VIP ones are 200 and something quid for family ticket. But they're really good. But unfortunately, when you buy your tickets, you get to a chance to get a photo session with Matt Smith. So when I went and finally got in to actually get a family ticket, which was a standard family ticket, it had sold out. So basically, I'm not groaning because I'm going to this convention, which is really, really good. But I am slightly disappointed I won't be able to get a Matt Smith photo session, and it's going to be even more annoying when I see Christopher Gallagher, who I'll have to thank actually for the chance of getting these tickets, and Dave Simon from the Who Blackpool shop, who will be posting their pictures of themselves with Matt Smith on Facebook probably that day or the day afterwards. So slightly disappointed on that score, but absolutely delighted. Yeah. Thank you, Christopher Gallagher, for giving me the code that allowed me to get tickets for this particular convention. Alicia is standing in the doorway looking glum, even though she should be terribly grateful. She has actually got a ticket for this convention.
Rolls, I get to go in London on October.
You can't go to London on the day that it's a whole day event, darling. It is in London, but you can't actually leave it to go off shopping and come back again because none of us are going to be leaving.
16, so I'm legal to go into a hotel room. I could book myself a hotel.
So basically, yes, I'm going to my first ever convention, and it's the biggest British convention ever.
What is the convention called?
It's called.
Does it have a name?
Yeah, it's called the Doctor Who BBC Official Doctor Who 50th Anniversary Convention at the XL in London.
Yeah.
So you get to go to Doctor Who, but then again, when I asked for Bessel tickets, you said no, I can pay for my...
Yeah, your Bessel tickets, 180 quid. This whole thing has cost the family less than 110 quid.
120 quid.
Be quiet. Festivals every year. This is a one-off. So, yeah, that's why I've been a little bit on the stressy side trying to get this ticket. Slightly disappointed, like I said, didn't get the Matt Smith photo session, but I'm hoping a kindly listener might allow me to sneak in on their photo session with Matt Smith.
Photo bomb.
Yeah, indeed. And Deb's a bit disappointed as well. She wanted to have this particular session, a photo with Matt Smith. There are going to be other...
Adam, she can always have a photo with you.
Adam?
Hang on a sec. There are going to be other
Can those sessions be purchased separately?
Yes. No.
Because at conventions, they quite often offer...
Unlikely.
Okay.
It said quite clearly on when you were booking them that you had to book them with buying the tickets. But the only one available was Matt Smith. And I know for a certain that Tom Baker, Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy are all guests at the convention as well. And those names were not available to book for photos, so I don't know yet. The tickets go on general sale at 11 o'clock, so whether there'll be any left when it goes to general sale, I do not know. Then the other option would be try and buy a VIP ticket then and sell the non-VIP ticket on, you know, afterwards. But, of course, I'm podcasting, so I can't do that. Never mind.
Yeah. You should check out eBay. I'll bet there are people not allowed to buy selling them.
It does say quite clearly that you cannot buy tickets on eBay. Because they don't send them out until just before the convention.
Stop the scalpers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you can sell them to friends or, you know, pass them on to friends.
It'll slow the scalpers down. It won't.
No, it won't.
It won't stop them, but it'll slow them down.
I'd never buy a ticket like that off eBay because you're not absolutely guaranteed you're going to get it. That's the thing.
No.
Too much of a risk.
Yeah. They can always cancel, cancellations.
Or just take your money and go off with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They can always cancel, Robert.
Yeah. Right then, I don't know what's going on with this. Oh, hang on. What's going on? I thought I had a... I'm having trouble again. Sorry. I'm getting distracted by you lot. Yeah, so delighted. Got tickets for this convention. Absolutely thrilled to bits. So it's going to be quite exciting. It's the day before Deb's birthday, the day of the actual anniversary. They haven't announced any evening events yet, and I'm hoping they're going to have a special screening of the 50th anniversary episode itself.
Oh,
the trouble is, that's why we wanted the VIP tickets, you see. Front row seats with VIP tickets.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how many of you they can cram into the front row.
What are you saying? You're saying I'm big?
It's a TARDIS front row.
Right then, anyway, so let's crack on. I'm bound to mention it again later on.
How long do we have you for?
Me?
You said you had to leave
after half past 11. Well, it's about another hour and a quarter, so plenty to try and cram in. We don't have to go into a great, mega... detailed synopsis of Tomb of the Cybermen.
Because we've done it before, at least you and Ben have.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But it was quite an interesting beginning, because obviously they sort of went back to the end of Evil of the Daleks, and as a shot of them walking in to the TARDIS, and it's quite echoey and it has a strange feel about it. Because I think it's shot on film or something. It just didn't.
It was shot on film to make room for the bigger sets they were going to have for the story.
Yeah. So, so it's basically it's Victoria's introduction to the TARDIS. And I have to say, it's a bit weird. At the beginning of the episode, she's a bit wooden for me. But as the episode goes on, she settles into the part a little bit better and a bit less annoying.
It's nice.
No, she isn't quite right at the beginning, but she has some really great little lines and put me downs to speech to some of the characters later on in the episode.
But she receives a few too.
Yes, that's true. But anyway, so basically that's a little introduction scene, and then we move on to apparently the city of Telos. Well, I thought it was a planet. Maybe the planet that's got the same name of the city, and we meet some...
Telos, it's called it.
No, actually it's Gerard's Cross Sand and Gravel Quarry.
For God's sake.
Buckinghamshire.
Is that where they filmed War Games?
The Dominators and the Twin
Dilemma. The Dominators, that's right, yeah.
And I think they also used it for Attack of the Cybermen as well to represent the same place.
Yes.
No.
Oh,
no.
Did they not?
No, it was the Dominators and Twin Dilemma.
He's reading this from Wikipedia. You can't trust him.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Anyway, so we immediately meet a large group of characters. And the interesting thing about this is the fact that even though there's quite a lot of characters to try and sort of very quickly engage with, they're all very different. Be quiet. They're all very different. So it makes it easier for to sort of know which one's which very quickly. This is a very difficult thing to portray, I think, in any sort of dramas. I know, obviously, we've watched this a few times over the years. And I must admit, when I first watched it, I didn't really like it that much. And now it's absolutely fantastic Doctor Who story. And Stephen Moffat should watch this and learn this is what Doctor Who's supposed to be like.
Yes.
Well, there was a little talk given by Stephen Moffat on the BBC America introduction to this, saying that when Matt Smith first was cast in the role, and I guess he was in Germany doing something at the time, the first story he could get a hold of, Matt, was this one. And after watching it, he called Moffat and all excited and
Moffat,
said,
Moffat.
and then told him, you know, this is the first classic Who that he saw, and he was all excited because he thought, you know, he was going to take a lot of things from how Patrick Troughton did his part.
Oh, so, and he did.
Yeah.
So this was Matt Smith's first classic Who.
Yeah, and this is where Matt Smith decided he was going to have the bow tie.
Oh, right. Oh, he decided that, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, they were originally going to put Matt Smith in some kind of a piratey costume, and he did not like it. And he went and saw this, and came back and went bow tie.
Okay.
Because bow ties are cool.
Okay. Anyway, so they
Think that Moffat did see this because they mention the lighting system is alpha meson phosphor, and River says if she shoots the Dalek with an alpha meson blast. In the Big Bang, then that will kill it.
That's even more pedantic than I am.
Really?
That's not pedantic. Whoa. That's a reference.
Grief.
Okay, we need
to. You can't get this one. I think we have the winner.
Yeah, I agree.
I only took notes on the first episode, really.
What?
Anyway, moving back to the episode. While I did allude earlier on that there is a limited amount of time I've got available for this show. Right, so they're at the doors. One of the characters, the red shirt, as it would be in Star Trek, immediately gets fried. And
red shirt.
The doctor,
red shirt, yeah.
The doctor, although sort of saying they shouldn't go in, can't resist the temptation and helps them get in to the place.
I know. And why would he do that, considering he knows how bad Cybermen are?
Yeah.
And can I just say something? Why Cybermen have no feelings, right? So they don't really care about design and that. So why have they got
these
pictures of...
Yeah, but that's exactly what I was going to bring up later on. But yeah, they've got all these logos on, especially on the actual tomb itself. Yeah, I thought that myself. Thank you, Robert. Me and Robert are on the same wavelength today. Hmm. Right then, I'm just going to.
They're selling merchandise. They've got those on T-shirts too.
Yes, I know.
Anyway, so they're in a little control room, and there's some sort of special codes and stuff that the doctor lets them know, stupidly, that need to be.
Because he keeps saying, "Don't the do doctor that," or "I wouldn't do that," and then he keeps doing it.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole thing, he is kind of getting them to go along with him, and because he wants to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he makes them do it.
Yeah, because basically he's an archaeologist, because there's a point in which they said about archaeology. So does it show? Is it that obvious? Sort of thing?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he's clever enough to get them into the situation. Yeah, he's clever enough to get them into the situations and clever enough to get them back out again.
Oh, he didn't get very many of them out.
After a few deaths.
Yeah.
A few. Most of them.
Yes.
I mean, he could have gotten them out of there right away, but he chose to keep going.
Although it's
he
quite
could
funny
have not
that
gone in there in the first place.
Victoria decides to test out the Cyberman's sort of revitalization unit, and he knew that was going to end up getting shut on her at some point.
Oh, yeah.
But it was so massive that she could hardly get into it. There's what else is happening? Yeah, so the doctor gives Klieg the big clue as how to suss out the thing. Thanks, Doctor. That was really stupid, but never mind. Kaftan.
I think he just likes to show off.
Kaftan sort of locks Victoria in the... I don't quite understand why, but locks Victoria in the revitalisation...
She's just nasty.
Yeah.
And then,
Don't forget the Axon Man gets fried.
Yeah, that's at the end of the episode, there's some very dramatic... deaths in this particular.
Probably,
there are.
Also,
I like
the
smoking effect.
The graphic that's played up, you know, the hypnotization graphic that's played on the wall was very very
the
modern.
The disco wall.
Yeah.
very much clever. Like the crack from Flesh and Stone when the soldiers walked into it.
Mm. And also, it was not dated at all. That particular, if that had been in colour and that, they could have used that now and they wouldn't have thought that looked dated. It was really, really
good. I think this works so much better in black and white.
Hip press file.
Oh, yeah.
Although I did notice some people say that there's really no signs of real wobbly sets in Doctor Who. Oh, there were wobbly sets. Yeah. My goodness, there were wobbly sets in this.
The design of though of this set is amazing, especially the half moon ladder steps were fantastic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very iconic of this particular episode.
Last night when I was watching again with Julia, I brought up the most recent Cyberman show. I've got to remember that. and showed her that they even as recently as Nightmare in Silver, they referenced the Half Moon Steps.
Yeah.
Oh, did they?
And of course, then we get the superb tomb itself.
Oh yeah,
brilliantly created and everything. And of course, the backwards footage for the freezing and stuff like that was a bit silly, but it worked.
Free throw straight away.
But it does make me wonder that the biggest Cyberman, the cyber controller, is kept in a little tiny closet at the bottom.
Yeah, a bit funny, but
he would have the grandest entrance, but no, he crawls out of a little.
Yeah. Oh, so Klieg is
problem with the cyber controller is that he doesn't have his handlebars on his head.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's true.
He looks weird.
Yeah. But say the Klieg is particularly good as far as when he turns all villainy in this. He's a bit like they when they have a sort of arch villain like this in early Doctor Who. They generally had to give them some sort of funny accent, don't they? I know he automatically had a funny accent, but it just I just remember in the Underwater Menace, was it, where nothing in the world can stop me now, sort of thing.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. The mad German scientist.
Yeah.
Well, they're all very stereotypical in this story.
Actually, Victoria is actually quite a good character in this. She goes through quite a lot, but also she does quite a lot in it as well. She's sort of a bit screamy, a bit scaredy, but also quite brave as well. So it's quite...
And silly.
Yeah, and silly.
I'll just put this Cybermat in my bag.
Yeah. That's a typical girly thing, though, isn't it?
It is, though. Yeah. Very typical.
Do you put Cybermats in your bag, Mary?
Well, it's funny you should say that.
Women are always sticking odd and end things in their bags.
A bit of bling, hey?
I was in a shop in Shanklin at the weekend, Toy Master, and they've packaged up two Doctor Who merchandise things. One's a Cybermat and one's a character thing for 15 Ooh. Quid. Don't want either of them, so I didn't buy it, but it was just quite interesting. It wasn't that interesting, was it, really? So anyway, they're in the tomb, and all the Cybermen are awake.
Better than what we get here.
Pardon?
Better than what we got here.
Oh yeah, maybe
absolutely
so.
Absolutely nothing.
So basically, I quite like the effect in which the Cybermen sort of stun people with the sort of long lightning bolt thing.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love the bit where Toberman's grappling with the Cyberman. You can see his cables as he gets hoisted up in the air.
Forgive that.
Toberman himself is a superb character. I know he doesn't say a lot, but he's fantastic. He doesn't say much, but I still think he was really well acted.
Anyone who watches this episode has to forgive a lot of racial things that pertain to him. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think
he's originally from Jamaica.
He was, but I would say he was playing a slave character. I don't think they specifically made him an ethnic character. He fitted the bill. He was big, and he had the character himself had to be big and strong. So I think it's basically he was someone they cast because he just looked right for a very, very strong man.
Similar part.
He did. He played the strong man, didn't he? Didn't have a lot to say in that one either, actually. But I still think. Sorry.
I was just going to say, there was a moment where the Doctor was talking about what was going wrong and he was just smiling in the background thinking, this is good.
Yes.
Our plans are working.
He's got a big grin on his face.
I think he did a really good job. And also, you got the American characters in this thing.
Oh, my God.
Acting like cowboys.
Bear in mind... a couple of years, well, 1 year before this, we had the Gunfighters with some dreadful American accents. And then we get even worse.
The worst thing is that the guy playing the lead American is actually American.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I know. Maybe he was told to tone it down a bit because the other chap's accent was so bad it would stand out too much. I don't know.
I just checked. I went to see what's going on with other science fiction television, famous science fiction television in the late 60s. While this episode was being shown, this story was being shown, Star Trek had just started their second season, and A Mock Time was shown right at the same time.
So anyway, they just about managed to escape the funny thing is there was a special code needed to open up the hatch, yet Hopper's able to open it up fairly quickly just by pulling a couple of levers.
They went through so much to get it open, and then he just walks in and just throws a lever and it opens.
Yeah, and Klieg wants to get out, so he taps the thing very gently. Because it's in the script to do so. And they let him out, rather stupidly. Of course, Klieg at this point, he's already murdered, what's that character's name? The one that's all scaredy cat.
Viner.
Yeah, he's already murdered Viner, very cold-bloodedly. Yeah. So they decide to imprison him and Kaftan in the armory room. Brilliant idea.
Which just happens to have a ray gun in it.
And then we have a magical scene between the Doctor and Victoria, which is iconic, superb. It's so watchable.
That was their second take, too.
Yeah.
Second take.
And she won very well, I think, if I remember rightly. She had a real bad cold.
Oh, they must have mentioned that during the commentary.
I've heard an interview with Deborah Watling in which she said that she had a really bad flu or something like that during shooting.
It was in the info text.
Was that in the info text as well, was it? But that's beautiful scene
modern. By that point, I turned off info text because I needed to rush through.
I know, it's very distracting, isn't it?
It can be, yeah.
Well, actually, I was watching with info text and watching with the commentary last night.
What?
And
that would be confusing.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
But
which
I was
commentary, Kirby?
I've got the first disc. I've got the original release. There's only one commentary.
So you've got the power.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, sorry. Anyway, I was sitting here watching it, and Julia wanders in, and I was at the very tail end of the second episode, and she was quite intrigued. She had not seen this one. So she said, start it over. And so I turned off info text, I turned off commentary, and we watched the whole thing straight through, and she loved it.
Cool.
Yeah.
What did I get up to?
She didn't question all the things that don't make sense?
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. No. Yeah. No, I was just saying that scene between the Doctor and Victoria was very modern. It was a very New Who style. Yeah. And was fantastic. So it was very reminded me a little bit of Matt Smith and Karen Gillan type one-on-one scene that we saw quite a lot of.
I can see why Matt Smith was inspired by Troughton.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, exactly.
And at the end of episode three, makes me laugh because there's Klieg and Kaftan come out and he points a gun at the Doctor and that sort of sound effect they use for the gun. And then it just holds the shot of him pointing the gun for about 10 minutes whilst the titles go up.
I know.
Yeah.
That's
whether
they could have done better than that.
Yeah. Yes. Might as well have just done a freeze frame, but camera's still running.
You can understand why Philip Hinchcliffe went for freeze frame.
Yeah, not all the time.
Well, they couldn't do freeze framing at that point when they were shooting.
I'm sure they could have done.
They sit there and they hold the shot.
No. Yeah.
But anyway, what's his name? Jumps in front of the Doctor and takes the bullet for him, but I don't think he dies.
Callum.
Don't think he dies, does he?
Oh, no, not for a long time.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that Toberman's been sort of about a quarter converted. Just his arm.
Yeah.
That's all that
nobody notices.
Just the arm.
Yeah, nobody remarks on it at all.
Jamie says, Doctor, don't you think he looks a wee bit... Yes, I know, Jamie.
Yeah, but it's, again, quite good acting. He's got such a presence about him. Was it Roy Stewart, I think, played...
Roy Stewart.
Yeah,
who was also in Roger Moore's first Bond film, Live and Let Die.
Oh, was he?
Really?
Yeah, he played his contact on the island.
Also, the other thing that made me laugh, I must talk about, is that the voices of the Cybermen, obviously, they've got a vibrating thing. That end, every word or sentence ends with a "ah." It's "assa."
They're jumping P's and B's and things like that.
Yeah. And some of the dialogue you couldn't really understand, and the only way I was able to understand it fully was by having subtitles on, yeah.
Well, the first time I watched, the most recent time I watched it, twice back, 2 days ago, when I watched it with Louisa, I turned on the subtitles, but Julia wanted me not to turn on the subtitles. She wanted a challenge to see if she could figure out what they were saying, and she said she had no problems. So
no, just some words
without the subtitles.
It was just some words.
Yeah.
Well, on the topic of Toberman being converted, this was something that didn't make sense to me. Is that they talk about how we want the most intelligent specimens, and somebody had to be really smart to get through all the traps and logic and everything to get to the Cybermen, because they wanted only the smartest. So why are they converting Toberman?
Because he's the only one left after they all escaped.
He might not have had much to say, but he might have been a bit clever.
Just because he's big doesn't mean he's not intelligent.
Yeah, exactly.
He just doesn't talk a lot.
I feel hurt. Yeah. I'm quite tall.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you followed that lady around and did everything she said, would you call that intelligent?
Yeah. Do you know what? Somebody was saying yesterday,
well.
I think it was. Sometimes in dramas we have like the big baddie whose sidekick is clever. I think that sometimes they do it in cartoons, like with Hong Kong Fooey. It was Little Cat that actually was smarter than Hong Fooey. In Blackadder Series 1, you've got Blackadder, who's the dippy one, and it's Baldrick, which in fact is the clever one. Obviously, all the other ones, it's turned round. But often they do this, so that Kaftan could have been the daft one, and actually Toberman was the one that was cleverer.
There's no evidence of it. All he does throughout the whole episode is grunt, and he's only got two lines at the end.
I'm just saying they could have done that. But anyway.
Kirby, she can't pay well. She was only offering £50 to open the doors.
But what's the exchange rate? How do you know £50 is in a fortune?
Yeah, everybody's talking over each other now. Stop it now. You talk about the exchange rate. Obviously, this is set into the future. £50 is probably going to be worth the same as about 50 pence is now, I'd imagine, that far in the future. So it makes it even worse.
Yeah. But she didn't say £50 of what? It could have been £50 of something very rare.
Yeah, that's true.
Very good. And, of course, the Cybermen themselves have got little golf balls, Platys golf balls, attached to their shoulders. quite sure what those are for.
And only three fingers for some reason. They must have run across the Santarans at some point.
Yeah. Kaftan's death is very amusing. She does this strange sort of curvy sort of motion as she hits the deck. Have you noticed that? Do you notice that bit?
Yeah,
there's a reason for that.
Why?
Yeah. Because they had a pipe running up her leg through her shirt so that when she got shot, all the smoke could come out.
Is that why she does a funny twitch when she's on the floor? It sort of tickled her a little bit.
You know what, Adam?
Yes.
She was up all night, but the kids had measles, and she actually fell asleep on the floor.
Oh, did she?
apparently during the rehearsals.
And anyway, Toberman has talked into having a final scrap with the cyber leader. He makes some very funny noises while dying. And then out of his chest comes some cling film and shaving foam.
Yes. Bubbling up.
Yeah. Well, what I love is that
it looked good.
It did, yeah.
Yeah. What I love is that when Toberman attacks the cyber controller, he takes him off screen, everybody's reacting, and he comes back with the limp dummy.
Yeah. And also, when they throw it.
Falls off when he throws it.
Yes, exactly. it still works really well, though.
When
I love it.
We showed this at Concus Cerberus in 2012, that got a round of applause.
Good, I'm sure. And the other funny thing, of course, is when the Doctor turns on the freezer unit, the Cybermen very, very kindly, obligingly climb back in it and backwards and sort of the Cybermen.
And it freezes very quickly.
Yes.
Very quickly.
Of course, the big hero of the day is Toberman, who sacrifices himself to allow them all to escape.
That's a Gandalf impression. Even though
the Cybermen are already frozen away in their tomb, he obligingly sacrifices himself. Because the cyber leader, who's died, apparently, is not quite dead.
Of course, I was wondering where the planks of wood came from that they were
pushing
shot with.
What I was wondering, though, Mary, was obviously all that stuff came out of the cyber leader's chess unit, but when he gets up, the chess unit's disappeared. So obviously he didn't need the chess unit.
Oh, I think you're talking about two different Cybermen.
You are.
Really? Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, I apologise, then. I've got confused. I thought he had a fight with the cyber leader.
He has a fight in the tomb with one of the Cybermen, and that's when the whole phone...
The chest unit. Oh, out. Okay. Then I sit corrected.
Mary Whitehouse apparently complained about
this. I was about to say that. Sorry.
It's not going to be any good unless Mary Whitehouse complains about it. So,
I have to ask Mary Lane to do it.
At the end of the day...
Yes.
Yeah, at the end of the day... It's got its faults. But I don't like to talk about the faults because it's still perfect Doctor Who.
Yeah.
What faults?
Yeah.
It's time, isn't it? It's just, like I said, the golf balls on the arms and then some silly little things in it and the accents. But they're so minor.
The levers that move by themselves.
Yes. It's part of the charm
of
it. And it's just absolutely wonderful. Yeah. Yeah.
As I said earlier, we chose this at Con Cerberus back in 2012. And I was very, this was one of the things, we let people choose what they wanted to see, and this was the most voted thing on that list. And I was very nervous about showing it because the whole room was full of people who had never seen Old Who before. And they did laugh at stuff. They did laugh. I think there's the point when one of the Cybermans can't quite get back over. And also they laughed and gave a round of applause to the bit when the dummy cyber controller got thrown and the helmet falls off. But at the end of all four episodes, it got a round of applause, and at the end of all those, I heard people in the audience going, I can see where Matt Smith came from.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just apologise to listeners, so I did open the window up. If you can hear cars starting up outside, that would be why.
And also...
Can't hear anything.
Yeah, just to finish off kind of my thoughts in doing that, one of the things I did say to people who commented on that is, keep in mind that this was supposed to be watched once, an episode a week... on TVs that were about half the size of the modern TV and about half the definition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't have noticed a lot of the stuff that you notice now.
Yeah.
Like but otherwise, wire.
Yeah.
But being black and white does help, I think.
Yes, it does.
Right then. I can go around saying what people think. All I'm going to say about it was great fun watching this. Love it. Absolutely loved it. And compiling the questions for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One, which you probably will get it this week. Let's go around the table then. Robert, what did you think?
I loved it. I mean, I remember when it came out on video and people were very disappointed. It sort of didn't live up to what it promised.
Yeah, but same here.
I have to say... It has grown on me and keeps growing on me.
Yeah.
And it's just a classic example. And I think wouldn't it be wonderful if these other Troughton episodes did turn up.
Yeah, it would indeed. And we'd have more to talk about, wouldn't we? Because if they did come out, all we'd have to do is do loads of episodes of reviewing stuff we haven't seen before.
That would be brilliant. and even the music, the choice of music throughout this is... so brilliant.
Very iconic. I think some of that music was used in other episodes, actually.
You missed Dr. Phil's entire post about the music?
Oh, yeah. Please, one thing at a time. Moving on. Right, then, who's next? Matthew.
This was one of the very first Doctor Who DVDs I ever bought when I first became a fan in 2007. And I absolutely loved that story at the time, and I still love it today. It's got its faults, and going back and watching it multiple times and also listening to it, because the BBC did release it on audio CD about 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
There's plot holes in it, and things become more and more apparent over time that there's flaws in it. But as a example of 1960s... As an example of 1960s Doctor Who that still survives in the archives, I don't think you're going to get much better. I think it's one of the best Cybermen. Well, it's not. Well, surviving in the archives.
Yeah, well, it could be. I'm thinking ahead. Positive.
Yes, you're thinking positive. Ahead. Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Hopefully.
I actually think the Cybermen are quite effective. This is one of my yeah, they're quite effective. I actually like their voices. I know they're a bit hard to understand at times, but they're certainly emotionless. Okay. Yeah, they're mm-hmm. yeah, they're emotionless and
mm-hmm. yeah, no, fine. Excellent.
No, yeah, they're yeah. No, it's Finch a very Cliss. Good story. Yes.
Kirby, go on, your turn.
Wait, I don't think he was done.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, carry on. You interrupted him. I thought he was done.
Hey, Matthew, you made the major mistake. You stopped to take a breath.
Are you done?
That's what she said. Okay.
So you have done then.
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, go on then, Kirby.
That's what she said.
Fantastic story. Just right, fantastic.
Okay. Rich, I'm sorry.
I got the DVD. Like I said, I've only got the single disc DVD, the first release, but I wasn't sure what to expect. This was my first Second Doctor story. I don't remember when I got this, but I sat down to watch it, and I was not disappointed at all. It was just fantastic.
Yeah. Who's next? Reese. Reese.
Yes?
Come on, then.
I'm trying to figure out a way to say that I loved it without saying the words I loved it, because that's what I say most of the time.
This is going to be a full it. Out, that's isn't right. it?
I loved it.
Mary? Oh, sorry, Karen.
Really?
It could be because I've spent 3 days working on a play in a theatre, but I think that the whole as live, not cutting really quickly between shots like they do in Yoo-Hoo, was in a way, it was really... It was a different pacing for somebody who's seen mainly New Who, but also I thought that I could relate to it a bit more. Just because I've been spending time in a theatre working on a play. But I thought that the atmosphere from filming it that way, but also having it in black and white, was just so much more interesting than having it in colour, to be honest. I thought that obviously it covered up some of the dodgy shots and makeup and... balls on the Cybermen's shoulders. But,
oh, we got some real close-ups of the balls on the Cybermen's shoulders. So.
Let's practice golf.
But I thought, I just thought it had an atmosphere.
I'm surprised Jamie didn't grab a golf club and go over there and...
Yeah.
Never mind. True. Oh, speaking of Jamie, I love their humour, the humour between Troughton and Jamie. Like when Toberman, the doctor's going over to the console and Toberman stops him and says, "Stay." And Jamie says, "Now look, you don't lay a hand on him. I'm going to." And then he clenches his fist.
He clenches his fist, yes.
And then he says, "All right, you just leave the doctor alone," instead of saying he's got to do something. I just thought that bit of humour was well done, but also the grabbing hold of his hand instead of Victoria's, that was fun. But I just thought that their humour is excellent. And I'd forgotten about that from the first time I saw it.
Excellent.
Yes, excellent.
Okay, all done?
That's what she said.
Yeah. You carry on. Sorry, I don't mean to rush, but obviously I've got limited time. I do apologise if it appears rude, but I'm trying to still fit everything we need to fit into the episode. Yeah. That's what she said. Are you sure you said what you wanted to say?
I am sure.
Okay, I do apologise, Reese. Mary, go on, yes?
I thought that the line... Now, there's a distinct element of risk in what I'm asking you all to do, so if you wish to leave, you must do so at once. Not you, Jamie.
Yes, indeed.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, there's a lot of little lines like that, especially the hand-holding, you know, when they held hands coming in. It was one of my favourite Doctor Who clips ever. Absolutely love that. And I said this to friend of the show, Fraser Hines, when he was actually on the show a while back. Mm. So, Mary...
Well, I watched it on BBC America, which has no subtitles, no infotext, no commentary, and no episode breaks. So they
No distractions, Mary.
And I did not expect to like it, but I did. I was totally absorbed in it. And little niggles that when I watched it the second time, you know, that's when things like, oh, my God, these obvious stereotypes and why are they converting Toberman and, you know, weird little questions that I have. Because it was my first exposure to this, the first time through, I just really enjoyed it. I especially enjoyed Troughton's, you know, little throwaway lines that you know, yeah. some of which you guys have talked about, because yes, that does bring Matt Smith to mind, the way he, and it made me kind of long for New Who to be not totally like this, but to mm-hmm. ease off, yeah. you know, and give us a little bit yes. more character development and just a little more of what we got out of this than yeah. what we're getting now. Now we're going through stories at breakneck speed and, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. They're entertaining, yes. but there's no depth to them. There's, you know.
Yes.
Anyway,
mind you, the Cybermen having a snail race with their Cybermats was a bit slow, I thought.
Well, yeah, oh, yeah. It's got its draggy times. Yeah, yeah. There were draggy times, yeah, but. Yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic. So brilliant. Well, anybody else? Have I covered everyone?
Another great line
to
the
doctor. I do thoroughly recommend.
Go on, I've stopped.
I was just going to say, I do thoroughly recommend getting the special edition DVD of this that was released as part of the first revisitation set and mm-hmm. also separately here in the U.S. They redid the restoration, and the original DVD release did not have the bitfire process used on it, which they did for this release. It's also got a wealth of new special features and a second audio commentary moderated by none other than friend of the show, Toby Haydock.
Excellent. Right, so all in all, I suspected, you can't go wrong with Tomb of the Cybermen. Fantastic stuff. You know, I was thinking about this BBC Doctor Who 50th anniversary convention, my first convention, I said earlier on. I've just had the confirmation emails through. I have got my ticket. A little bit disappointed that I'm not going to get my picture taken with Matt Smith. But the thing is, though, right, it's got the cast and crew. This is who they've confirmed as going. Matt Smith, obviously. Tom mm-hmm. Baker, Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy. But when you went in to buy your tickets, the only one available for photos was Matt Smith. So is there a possibility that you can buy tickets later on for the others?
Oh, I'm sure there are.
So
sure
those
are.
Options were not
available.
They do that
at all
booking.
The other conventions.
I do hope that's the case, because... Yeah. I'll be very disappointed if I can't get my picture taken with somebody.
It may be because of Matt Smith being there. They're expecting a lot of people to want to get pictures made with Matt Smith, and they put him as an exclusive. Mm.
It's going to sell out very quickly, this thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm very grateful to Chris Gallagher. Like I said, thanks, Chris, for giving me the code required to get pre-orders.
So he seems to be our inside man on a lot of things.
Yeah, he's very, very pleasing for me, because he actually went on Facebook and said he's going to get tickets. I said, how are you going to do that? And he said, pre-order. And I said, oh, I can't do that. And he sent me the code.
Adam?
Yes!
Okay. Adam?
Yes!
Adam? Have you got a audio from Ian?
Yes!
Okay, good.
Okay!
I take it you want to...
Just checking.
Chicken? No,
he just posted his script on the 20 megabyte page. So I'm just wondering.
Did he? Oh, no, okay. Okay,
feel like tonight.
Do you?
Yep.
All right, okay. We'll move on to...
I haven't had breakfast yet.
The feedback thing, shall we? Okay, right, then what date are we on now? Because it's Dr. Phil, no, that's a long time ago. Oh, we got Jeff Waddle. He says, hi, gang, you're a gang now. I remember the excitement of this being released. He's talking about Tomb of the Cybermen, by the way. And the general consensus of disappointment that a supposed classic wasn't as good as had been remembered. But they are wrong, or were wrong, I should say. It's great! That's some from Frosty's advert. Creepy Cybermen, probably the best they've ever been, apart from the 10th Planet ones, which is what they should be.
Yeah.
Atmospheric tombs, a proper nutcase in Klieg, even the American accents I can forgive. What's the matter with me? I can forgive them anything, because the story is great. Jamie and the Doctor.
It's a bit DeForest Kelly-like.
Jamie and the Doctor are at their best, and the Doctor's speech with Victoria about remembering his family is spine-tingling. Yeah. An example of how to write a Cyberman story. Take note, Modern Who. Cheers. Thank you, Jeff.
So is Jeff back with us because we're doing Classic Who now?
No, he's been with us all along. He's just not part of the group.
And see, this shows that he doesn't hate all of Doctor Who.
He's always said he preferred the classic.
What's this one? I've got Dr. Phil has sent something in.
Who?
I didn't have a chance to put together a substantial bit of information for the last 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, but here is some tidbits for you. Ooh, this is interesting. I don't know what I'm supposed to click on here. Sorry, turn my speaker on. I'll see if this is something I'm supposed to play. Oh no, it's a thing about the music via Wikipedia. Will you stop doing that? The iconic March of the Silence.
It seems that it says Wikipedia and as part of the link.
Be quiet.
I would have thought.
Stop being naughty. The iconic March of the Cybermen is a stock music Space Adventures Parts 1 to 3,
yeah.
Which also appeared in the 10th Planet and Moonbase. There you go. The only thank you. The only composers that I can find anything
to YouTube see that's got the entire all three pieces
about meaning pretty much anything at all are Martin Slavin and Wilfred Josephs. Just some food for thought on a stunning Doctor Who episode with some iconic atmospheric music. Thank you, Dr. Phil. Probably not going to play the music for time constraints, but I do appreciate the efforts you've gone to send me that information.
You could edit it in later.
I could.
Yeah.
But as I've said, I've have time constraints.
After the teddy bear's picnic?
No, I've got time constraints. I've got loads I've got to do. Anyway, but yes, I might do it. I doubt it, but I might do it. Thanks, Dr. Phil. Matthew Kressel.
What?
Oh, yes.
Do I need to read that one out?
No, actually, I sent the music cue you were just talking about, three parts of it, because I've had it on CD, so I sent that to everybody.
Okay, thank you, Matthew. We got this. Hang on, let's turn the speaker on. And it goes a little bit like this.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hi, Captain.
Hello.
In Star Trek Into Darkness, BBC comedy fans will have been disappointed that the following scene with Kirk, Khan and Captain Pike never happened. Khan, what is your name, Captain? Kirk, don't tell him, Pike. The Tomb of the Cybermen by Kit Pedler and Jerry Davis. There is a lot of death in this story, with over half the characters being killed.
Yeah.
Despite this, the complaint to the BBC at the time was that foam was seen pouring out of a dead Cyberman. As noted in the DVD commentary, there is a continuity error. Vicky puts a gun on the steps, and Captain picks it up from the floor. Fraser Hines points out that Jamie's been out of foreign. The Cybermen have changed.
They're
solid masks instead of their previous ski masks. They've moved to the planet Telos, after Mondas was demolished. One of the DVD features says that this story is based on the discovery of the tomb of Tutankhamun. The Cybermats are inspired by the Scarab Beetles. Has anyone written a quiz book about the Beetles?
Yes, I have, yes.
Klieg and Kaftan are members of the Brotherhood of Logicians. I expect Kaftan gave them an earful about it being called a Brotherhood. Klieg wants the Cybermen to make him ruler of Earth. In present-day Egypt, the army has just put Chief Justice Mansour in charge of the country.
Yes.
This podcast is usually recorded at 11 o'clock.
It is.
As Andy Murray won at Wimbledon yesterday,
yay!
It is appropriate that today it started about 10-ish.
Andy Murray won Wimbledon. It's words that bring cheer to my heart.
You just talked over Ian then.
What are you on about?
What?
The rest of Ian, what Ian said.
No, he's finished. He said bye for now.
I didn't hear.
Yeah, I was cheering. He was just. He said, this podcast is usually recorded at 11 o'clock. As Andy Murray won at Wimbledon yesterday, it is appropriate that today
it starts about tennis.
Tennis joke. Bye for now. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but you talked over his bye for now.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Right, then. Okay. If you'd like to send in feedback to the show, the feedback address is 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Please do. I'd be very pleased if you did. Right, I suppose it's time to go to news, because we didn't do news last week, if I remember rightly.
No.
I'm going to blame Mary. Because you're just on the list for blame this week.
Okay, my turn next.
Do we have a news theme? Where's the news theme?
Well, if... Oh, I'm not going to go down.
There it is.
You're just trying to wind me up. Yes, right, Doctor
pillow.
Who news. Right. Oh, God, it's your head. I'm not going to go back 2 weeks. still no news on who's going to be playing the Doctor, although I'm starting to warm towards Idris Elba if he can do more than one series.
Yeah, I would have liked to spot this series. That would suck. That's like an
Eccleston. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Of course, I did also say he'd make a good Master. In fact, he's a pretty good actor, and so I think he'd probably play any character. So,
he could do either one, yeah.
I somehow doubt, although he would be ideal because he's so well-known in America, being that Luther is the third most successful BBC export, along with Top Gear and Doctor Who. He was actually asked this on the One Show. I posted a picture of him from the One Show on the Facebook group. Uh-huh. He was asked by the presenters of the One Show. That's Matt Baker, who's been in Doctor Who, and Alex Jones. He played Matt Baker in a Lupita clip from Series 1, I think it was. The spaceship. He was making spaceship cake, something like that. A cake made of the spaceship.
Oh,
from,
yes.
I think it was Aliens of London, was it? Remember Aliens of London? Anyway, it was Matt Baker. Yeah, anyway, he presents the Watcher. And they asked Idris Elba what he thought the most successful BBC exports were, and he was able to list Top Gear, Doctor Who. He didn't mention Luther because I think he was a bit surprised. That was that one. So who is the Doctor? BBC Radio 2 has told Doctor Who News it is to produce a documentary entitled Who is the Doctor? To celebrate the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who. Now, it's quite... think about this, that everybody's asking who's going to be the 12th Doctor. It's quite fitting with Doctor Who, because we don't know, do we?
That's right.
and I think it's probably might be the right why they're doing it, because it's bringing more mystery to the series itself. Hinchcliffe-era reviewed... Big Finish are to produce they're to produce a couple of Doctor Who stories in association with former producer Philip Hinchcliffe, which is that'll be rather fab, wouldn't it?
Do you know how much that costs?
No.
$93 for the set.
Okay.
Wow.
It's quite expensive. I haven't got $93. Yeah. I've just spent £110 of Deb's money on this Doctor Who convention, the official 50th anniversary.
I'm surprised that you had permission to go.
Well, no, I think
she's taking going, the whole family.
It's all of us. We're all going. I said I'd like to go to it, and then suddenly her.
It doesn't this is come a, around that often, though.
Well, the day it it's the day before her birthday, right. She's even more surprising. But she, I don't know. She seemed immediately jumped on it. She wanted
How many
the.
Days
she really
in
wanted the VIP
spent?
Tickets. She really wanted the VIP tickets, and I did too. And then she wanted to have a picture taken with Matt Smith, of course, so those two things have fallen by the wayside, unfortunately.
Yeah. But, well, she'll just cancel the whole thing because you couldn't do
no,
that.
No, she accepts the fact we've got tickets because
you'll still get to see him live, and that's quite good there.
Might do, yeah.
Better than see him dead.
Better than see him dead.
That's true, that's
anyway,
true.
details on our suspended chaps, not going to talk about that.
You know what I mean.
TV Choice Awards is Doctor Who versus Doctor Who. What else we got here? Children's Laureate writes 7th Doctor ebook. So the Children's Laureate Mallory Blackman is writing a 7th Doctor ebook for the 50th anniversary. 7th Doctor revisited on BBC America.
They're not very long, those.
No. The fantastic royal visit to the TARDIS, which was a really funny watching Prince Charles doing the Dalek voice. He seemed to really enjoy it too.
I know, that was funny.
And old Nicholas Briggs on Best Behaviour as well, it's quite funny. But what got me was they seemed to be instructing him to do it, or go have a go, you know.
Yeah.
But he didn't seem to have any choice in the matter. And of course, General Louise Coleman let slip a few little details about the 50th anniversary. Keep your gob shut, General, or don't mic her up, will probably be the best. I know that it was shot by a video camera up on the gantry, but still, they should have been a bit more careful
so
there.
The royals are allowed to play, but we're not, huh? Is that what you're saying, Adam?
Clearly. Right, apparently
not
there's
ordinary people, are they?
Official 50th anniversary convention. This is what's going on.
It's going to be an official 50th anniversary convention? Really? Yeah. Maybe one of us ought to go.
Yeah, I think I might go to that one.
And report back.
This is basically all the details
here. And do a live podcast.
Yeah.
Unlikely.
Take your equipment.
Be quiet! The three main panel sessions. Be quiet! Magic!
The 11th hour.
Yeah, Magic, shut up.
I wanted the inside scoop on the word of Doctor Who. Betsy putting a question to the current Time Lord. Well, now's your chance. Yeah, the Doctor Who Celebration is hosting the 11th hour panels featuring the
current.
And then
there's the Regenerations panel with Tom Baker, Colin Bacon, Wes McCoy. There's a special effects show. It's a whole day event. It's fantastic. Then we've got Walk Like a Monster, the Stunt School, cast photographs, and it says limited opportunities are available throughout the day's event. Sorry, to have exclusive photographs from Matt Smith. Very limited, as they've all gone. But it doesn't say anything about having your picture taken with the others. So I wonder if they're going to do that. Autographs.
Well, yeah, the next picture says autographs. You sounds like they may be opening up other things.
Yeah, but they're not open at the moment.
Limited opportunities are available throughout the event to have an exclusive taking with Matt Smith.
So basically, the idea is they've already said that the Matt Smith one you need to buy your with your ticket. So that's gone. Can't do that. I've lost that opportunity. But I'm hoping that I might still have a chance with Tom Baker. I really wanted the VIP tickets too, but I'm not grumbling because it's better to have tickets than have nothing at all. Doctor Adventures says a thing about the magazine there as well. So it's,
it says you have to pre-book the autographs.
Yeah, I don't want. I'm not interested in autographs. Just want pictures.
Okay.
That's it, really. TARDIS Adventures at Doctor Experience. They've got a picture.
Maybe you can meet up with some other podcasters.
Yeah, no, but I'll probably be the only one there, and they won't want to meet me. You know what?
You will not be the only one there, Adam.
I can tell you that they won't be wanting to meet me. I'm very lowly considered amongst British podcasting.
You don't know that.
None of them ever want to talk to me. No,
I'm
the dirt upon the shoe of British Doctor Who podcasting. However,
I found Michelle from the Doctor Who podcast very inviting and nice. And, we talked a lot.
That's because you're not me.
Yeah.
And it's in America.
So little of yourself.
It's in America. Obviously, if I went to America, that'd be a different thing altogether. But this is a British convention. British Doctor Who podcasters don't like me. They never talk to me online or anything. Because it's me, I don't know.
Because you never talk to them?
I do. I've often asked
them.
Because
you never go off
apart
the island.
Apart from our friends at Radio Rassilon. Anyway, right. Yes? You're going to ask me something?
I was going to say Ken Deep, but he's not British.
No. But no, I'm expecting to go to it wearing probably a T-shirt that says 20 megabyte for Doctor Who podcast and be shunned by every British podcast that may or may not be there.
And when you're not, you'll be surprised that you'll eat your
hat. No, I won't.
We need to... we're all expecting pictures.
The thing is, they'll all have VIP tickets and I'll be in the... just the non-VIP. Yeah. So they'll be huddled together in the little VIP area, and I'll be sort of there, sort of standing outside in my non-VIP. So I predict that nobody will want to speak to me.
Stop setting the scene, Kirby. Just let it happen.
Anyway.
They give three dates for this celebration.
That's right.
And so which one are you going to?
I'm going on the Saturday, which is the actual anniversary itself, because I'm hoping that they're going to do a special evening showing of the episode. Probably won't, but that'd be great to be able to be there and watch it in a crowd, wouldn't it?
Is one of those deals where they're going to have a complete repeat of the entire convention three times.
Something like that.
Oh, okay.
But with different guests. Anyway,
highly organized.
That's not how conventions are done.
Oh, well, I do apologize.
So it could be very different from what we experienced.
There's going to be plenty on there. Obviously, there's other things other than the things they've already mentioned. They've got guests to be added. There's events to be added to it. It does say that on the website. I can tell you what the website is. It's celebration.doctorwho.tv. No W's there. Just celebration.doctorwho.tv. Sorry?
If you see a companion walking through the hall, you will run over there and get your picture taken.
If Deb lets me, yeah.
Yes.
This is why I wanted the VIP tickets, because I'm sure that you've got the celebrity Doctor Who fans in the VIP area. That's why I was hoping to get that. There'd be a great chance of it there, but no. I'm not complaining. I've got tickets. Right.
I think conventions like this, Kirby, are highly organized.
Yeah. Mm.
And I don't think you find, you know, the loose famous person just wandering the hallway like we do in our conventions.
Mm. Well, yeah, we see what happens. There probably will be, though. I can't see that there won't be the odd celebrity who are Doctor Who fans that won't happen to be wandering around.
There'll be Adam there. I mean, he's a celebrity.
Like I say, they'll all be avoiding me like the plague, and pretending they don't know it's me. And wait and see.
What you do is you get Toby Hadoki to to drag you around to see some of them.
But he'll have a VIP ticket, won't he? Let's face it.
Yeah, and he probably has things he's scheduled to do.
He's going to be on panels. You know that.
Yeah, he'll be busy.
Yeah, indeed.
They'll put together a podcasters panel and invite Adam.
Unlikely. Like I say, I'm considered to be the scum of British podcasting by British podcasters.
I don't know why you say that.
You think you're considered the scum of
Because none of them want
British
to talk
podcasting.
To me.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Yes?
No.
Have you tried talking to them?
Yes.
Know if they talk to anyone else who isn't on their show. The Staggering Stories team mainly talk to their own group of people. The Flashing Blade team mainly only talk to their group of people.
Yeah, most of our fans come from the United States of America. Thank you, Americans.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know. Sorry. When I look at all the people that belong, it seems to me like
they're Australia.
All, yeah, Australian and British, you know. No,
I'm talking here. About this show. The fact most of our listeners are Americans. And I'm very happy and proud of that. So,
well, speaking of our listeners, we should actually say thank you and welcome to the listeners who found us through the Daphne Ashbrook interview and her website.
Indeed. Yeah. Yes.
I love that episode.
Nice to have you guys on board.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Yep. And I hope they're going to enjoy the current this week's episode of Can I Get My Words Out?
Because I have this aura of invisibility around me.
What do you mean? I don't know.
Point between you and Adam, this is the Let's Be Depressed podcast.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Anyway, it's time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. We're going to start this week with the order in which I've written them down.
We'll never get it.
Robert.
There's too much technical stuff
Robert,
in this one.
You will get this one. I think.
What colour is. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, grey. Right. Right, Robert.
You got a 50-50 chance.
Robert!
On that one.
Yes, I'm listening.
How old is the Doctor? No.
I know.
Something, was it?
Yeah, 400.
Five.
No. Maybe we'd like to come in with the exact figure.
450.
Hang on. Now, somebody actually said, I know, before everybody else did. And who is that?
Me.
Go on, Kirby.
Me.
Yeah.
450.
Correct. Right, so next question is for Kirby.
Yes.
How much does Kaftan offer to the first man to open the doors?
50 pounds of something.
That'll do.
Yeah.
Reese.
What I get for mentioning that.
Yes.
What's the name of the panicky man?
The what-y man?
The panicky man, the character that panics
on. Oh. Is that Viner?
Correct.
Professor.
Cool. Cyril Shapps.
Mary.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't hear my
name. Away.
It came out as E, so I
Right.
E.
Reese.
Be quiet.
Yeah, it could have been me.
Be quiet.
My name ended up E too.
W-E. Will you be quiet? Yeah. Right, magic. Oh, he's asleep, you're lucky. When the Doctor fails to open the doors to the tomb, who tries next?
You said when the Doctor opens the door?
No, I didn't say that, because people are talking over the question, you see.
Yeah.
When the Doctor fails to open the doors to the tomb, who tries next?
Oh, I think Toberman.
Nope. Anybody else? That was Matthew. I know. Go on, Matthew.
Jamie.
Correct.
Yes.
Matthew.
Maybe he says I need some more exercise. I haven't been getting much exercise lately.
I haven't been exercising lately.
Matthew. Yeah. Who is the first to enter the tomb?
Whose question is this?
Matthew. Oh.
Yeah, we didn't hear a name. All we
I
heard
said
was
a name. I said Matthew. Matthew.
Cleek.
Nope. Anybody like to come up with a correct answer?
Nope.
Is it Cleek?
No, it's... Wait, Matthew, is it Cleek? No. Robert, is it Cleek? Yes, it is. Well done. No!
Adam, is it Cleek?
Hey, was it Cleek?
It's like Perry. What's his name?
Right, a point to Robert, even though he's going through every podcast member.
Way later in the years and years.
In their mind, right.
Yeah, I had that same thought.
Robert, this is your question. How does the Doctor persuade Victoria to enter the tomb? Did I say that and it sounded like English? How does the Doctor persuade Victoria to enter the tomb?
Oh, I can't really remember. I said I can't really remember, so...
Okay, anybody like to come in with the answer?
Well, he and Jamie enter first.
No, how does he persuade it? Obviously nobody knows. So the answer is by complimenting on her dress.
Tells her her skirt's not too short.
Yes. Mm. Too late. Right, Kirby.
Yes, look at Jamie's
for that. What does the Doctor use to unlock some of the gates?
I could not hear that question at all.
What does the Doctor use to unlock some of the gates?
Logic, symbolic logic.
Correct.
Oh,
yes,
my.
Reese.
Oh, yes.
What is the special technique the Doctor explains to Cleek?
Oh, yes. Keeping his eyes open and his mouth shut.
Correct.
Yes.
I love that.
Mary.
Yes.
Great line.
Yes.
What is the name of the character wearing the checked shirt played by Bernard Holly?
The checked shirt. Wow.
I don't want to get shot at the end of the episode.
I know.
Well, I'll just throw out a name. Viner?
Nope. Heard Robert say, I know.
I know.
Yeah.
It's Hayden.
Correct. Yeah. And Matthew? Well,
yes.
What is the first rule of archaeology?
Everything must be recorded.
Sounds right.
I'll give you 1 point for that.
Nothing can be touched until it's been described and recorded.
And you can have a point for that. Right, after the first check of...
Well done, Reece.
First check of the scoring. And in last place, for nothing, is Mary.
Oh, no.
In joint second place, with 2, is Robert and Matthew. And in joint first place, with 5, is Kirby and Reece. Wow. Right, Robert.
You'll win anyway. You always win.
Robert.
Yes, sir.
There you are. Right. What is the name of the lighting system that never goes out?
Phosphorescent, is it?
Ooh, I think I'll give you a point for that. It's not right, but I'll give you a point. Yeah. I'll tell you why in a minute. Go on then, Mary.
It's the Alpha Mason. Phosphor.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a point for that. Thank you very much.
That's exactly right.
And also, that was mentioned in a recent episode of Doctor Who. Yeah. Alpha Mason, wasn't it?
Yes, it was mentioned about an hour ago, too.
Yes. Obviously. Yeah. We were talking about the episode we've got the questions for. Right, who's next?
No.
I've lost where I was now. Who was the last question for?
Me. I just... Robert.
Right, so the next question then therefore would be for Kirby.
Uh-oh.
What does Jamie think the room he is exploring is used for?
Some sort of target practice.
Nope.
Oh, I know.
Go on then, Matthew.
Possibly raising caterpillars.
Here's the correct answer.
Oh.
Reese. What does Victoria say once she is released from the revitalizer?
she didn't like that one bit.
Ooh, I'm going to give you a point for that.
She says mercy when she comes
she
to
says
me.
Mercy all the time.
No, yeah, that's just...
Right, so anybody
she
likes
didn't
to be
like
a bit more...
that one very much.
Is... Well, yeah, that's it. Well, the word, the line is, I didn't like that very much. I can give you a point each for that one. Right, next is Mary.
Hmm.
Like contrary.
Now, there is a distinct element of risk in what I'm asking you all to do.
Oh.
So if anyone wishes to leave, they must do so at once. What does the doctor say next?
You, that was mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Did that, was that about, Robert deducting himself a point?
I'm not talking to you.
No, I didn't say anything.
Jamie. That doesn't
sorry,
apply
that,
to you, Jamie,
sorry.
Or I'm not talking to you, Jamie, or somebody
that'll
says that.
That'll do.
Not you, Jamie.
That'll
not
do.
You, Jamie, yeah.
Not you,
that'll
Jamie.
That'll do. Right, I just said
not
that'll
you,
do. Right, Matthew.
Yes.
Thank you, Reese. That was your quote earlier.
What does Victoria think the Cybermat is?
Does he offer me something?
What?
What does Victoria what? Think the Cybermat is?
Oh, I know.
Give it to Mary.
Yeah, go on, Mary.
Give it to Mary.
She thinks it's a fossil.
That is correct.
Oh!
Kind of like the ammonite fossil
Settles
that Adam
right.
uses to hold the...
I used to use, because well, I don't use that computer anymore. Right. Robert. Robert.
Yes, sir.
Which yes. Tomb of the Cybermen actor passed away on the 27th of October 2008 in London?
Oh, jeez.
Hey, how did we get that from watching the show?
Yeah, really?
Doesn't
yeah.
matter.
It has nothing to do
Kirby.
With the show.
Yes.
Kirby,
yes.
When does
wait,
the expedition...
Wait, what was the answer?
Roy Stewart, Cybermen.
Oh, okay.
Aww.
Yeah. Kirby, oh, when does the expedition leader plan to leave the planet in episode 2?
Immediately.
No. Right. Anybody else?
1642.
Ooh, I'd like to give you that, but no.
That sounds
clear.
It's not close enough. Not close enough. The actual answer is when the North Hemisphere is properly. Oh, I'll say that again. When the North Hemisphere is properly tangential. Tangential.
Tangential, yeah.
Yeah, that. At 1842. So it was not quite right.
Oh!
So, sorry.
Mm.
Right.
No.
Right.
Okay.
Reese?
Yes.
Right. According to Hopper, what had some character ballsed up?
Oh, I know.
Yeah, he does, but hang on. you don't want the specific name. It's the engine, isn't it?
No.
But you want the proper name for it.
Yes.
Go on, Matthew.
The fuel pumps.
Correct. Right.
Oh,
I've got to put the dog's dinner on.
Go.
Right, hang on. I've got to put the dog's dinner on a minute.
No, no.
We're up to who's next? Sorry, it was Mary, wasn't it? Mary.
Probably.
What is Viner sent to get after the hatch opens? What is Viner sent to get? Sorry, after the hatch opens.
I have no idea.
Anybody?
The anorak.
Nope. Correct.
Oh, yes.
Matthew.
Yes.
What should they do in the case of trouble?
Run away.
Oh,
that's good. Give it to Mary.
Oh, God. I can't remember, to be honest.
Anybody? Anybody?
I can't remember.
The answer is contact the rocket. Right, so after that round, in last place with 4 points is Mary. Next with 5 points each is Robert and Kirby. And joint lead is Reese and Matthew with 6. So, next question is for Robert.
Yes,
what choices of food does Kaftan offer Victoria?
I know chicken was one.
Yeah.
I can't remember the rest.
I can't really give you a point for that.
Was the other one roast beef?
Hang on. A point for roast
off
beef.
Chicken after the war was something that was...
I'll give you a point then, Robert, for getting the chicken, but I will give a bonus point for the other. If anybody knows it. There's three items.
Is it roast beef?
Yes, it was. I'll give you a point for that. Well, no, I gave Reese a point for that because he's actually said it first. There's one other item.
Roast? I don't know.
Veal.
I don't either.
Oh, veal.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
so hang on.
Surprising we didn't know that.
We're not racking up a lot of points here.
And he gave her a stock cube.
Yeah, that's it. Who's next? Sorry, I've completely lost where I was with this now. Who's next?
Looked like a piece of gum.
Who's next?
No, it was one of those.
That was your question, was it, Kirby? Robert. This is Kirby's question now.
That's for Kirby, yeah.
You ready, Kirby?
I suppose. No. To lose, yes.
Who was Kaftan actress Shirley Cooklin married to?
The producer.
So you know the producer's name?
I know.
No.
Well, I'll give you a point for the producer. Another point for his name. Anybody?
Peter Bryant.
That was a point for
him. Who just looked that up?
No,
he died in 1986 or something.
Robert just looked it up.
I watched it with the subtitles.
Reese.
Yes, Adam.
Right. Yes. Who was the third expedition member to die?
Third?
The first one was at the doors, and then the next one was
All right, thank you, Robert.
Don't give the final answer, mate. It's my question, you'll lose a point. I don't know. Pass it on.
I know it.
Go on in, Matthew.
Go, Matthew.
It's Viner.
Correct.
Right. The second, wasn't he?
Yes.
Mary.
Yes.
What are the cyber controller's first words?
What were whose first words?
The cyber controller.
Cyber controller.
Oh, I know.
You will be like us.
I'll give you a point for that. Not quite right.
I thought it was...
You belong.
I'll give you a point. Go on, anybody else get a bit more accurate for the whole answer. Hello, Alicia.
Bye.
Goodbye, Alicia.
You belong to us.
Oi! Now, who said that first?
I think Matthew did.
Right, I give a point to Matthew, all of it saying at the same time, should deduct points for that.
Well, Adam, he corrected you last week on Facebook, didn't he?
Right, it was, you belong to us, sir, you shall be like us, sir.
Well, no one got that.
Nobody got the sir at the end.
Right, I've lost where I am again now.
You just asked me a question.
That was you, was it, Mary? Right, the next one's Matthew, then.
Okay.
Hopper calls Callum by his first name, but Victoria threatens to pull all of the levers. What's his name?
Jim.
Correct.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
So after that round, in last place with Jim. 5 points is Mary. next, with 6 points, is Robert and Kirby. In the second place with 7 points is Reese. And in the lead with 11 points, it's Matthew.
And whenever Kirby is acting like he's thinking, he's actually looking things up.
Sometimes.
Right, then. So I imagine Robert has the next question.
He was also in Paradise Towers. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. There we go. Right. He's looked it up.
Right. Robert.
Yes, sir.
What does Hopper take with him down to the tomb?
Oh.
I know. Reese.
You said you know?
The smoke grenades?
Ooh, that'll do. Smoke bombs.
That's right, yeah.
No, near enough.
Oh, yeah.
Kirby?
Yes.
How many Cybermen does it take to overcome Toberman?
Three.
Nope. Anybody else?
I thought it looked more like five.
Two?
Nope. No, that's how they all got it wrong. It's four.
42.
Three held him, and the fourth one sort of zapped him with their... What do you call it?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Twice. Yeah.
That's what she said.
Race.
Yep.
What poor joke does the Doctor crack when the Cybermats are beaten?
Not fair, said
that. That was my opening thing.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Well, give it to Kirby, because I've forgotten.
Go on, Kirby.
Go on, Kirby.
I've forgotten.
He had a complete mental breakdown.
Yeah, that'll do. Yes. Point for Robert.
I had it on my screen when we started.
Mary?
Yeah.
Mary?
Ready.
How does episode 3 end?
I have no idea. The one I watched had no episode breaks.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Who said I know first?
Me.
Yeah,
go on in. Hang on. Come on, don't fight. I just want to know who said it first. Reese, go on in, Reese.
Klieg shot the Cyberman gun and shot Oh, I've got his name near now. Enough. Jim.
Near, yes, good. That's fine. Oh, yes, thank
no.
you.
No, we don't see who he shot.
Okay, it doesn't matter. Yes, that's a point.
Yes, it Matthew. Does.
All I wanted was Cleek shoots matter. At the doctor. That's fine. Right, Matthew.
Yeah,
All right, Matthew. Right.
Oh, he started
what
talking with
is
the Cyberman
Jamie's voice. Response oh, to the doctor? Will you be quiet?
Yes.
And I've got the window open as well, so everybody in the street heard that. Right.
They're saying, right. "Oh, there's our neighbour again going on."
Be quiet. What is Jamie's response to the doctor's hoping he had made the ropes secure?
I know.
Oh, the King of the Beasties couldn't get himself out of that one.
Correct. Right.
Yep.
As we draw to a conclusion, and we've only got four questions left, and there's five of you here, so it's going to be interesting to see how this pans out. In last place with 5 points is Mary. Next is Kirby with 6 points. In third place, Robert with 7. In second place, Reese with 9. And in the lead, with 13 points, it's Matthew. Right. Four questions left, so it means Matthew. Unfortunately, unlikely you're going to get another question other than the possibility of bonus points. Sorry about that, just the way it pans out sometimes. Robert, what does the doctor say after Cleek falls for his dramatic Master of the World speech? I'll say that again. What does the doctor say after Cleek falls for his dramatic Master of the World speech?
Something like, yes, I thought so. I was only just checking or something like that.
No, I'd rather have what he actually said because it was you didn't. You got the right lines, but not quite what he said. Anybody like to come in with a...
Yeah. What?
Now, Reese, you know, this is your department.
Yeah.
I know.
Nobody?
I think I know.
Go on in.
I thought you were insane, but I just wanted to be sure.
If I didn't get Robert...
Don't say that to Adam.
If then we get it to Robert. The words were, now I know you're mad, I just wanted to make sure.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay. Next is for Kirby. Mm.
Yes?
What are Cleeg's last words?
I don't know.
Nothing is your word can stop me.
Anybody like to come in with Cleek's last words?
The Cybermen may have a use for you, or for parts of you. Ah!
did he write, aww?
Yes, very good. Next.
How can you take time to write?
Is it Reese next?
Yes.
Reese.
Yep, go on, Adam. Yes.
What,
yes.
Shut up. What, according to the doctor, is the best thing about a machine that makes sense?
It's better
That's
than
not
race.
It, by the way. I've forgotten. Pass it on.
Anybody?
It can be easily told not to make sense.
Is near enough. So you can very easily make it turn out nonsense, which is more or less what you said. A bit nearer than your previous answer, so I'll give you that one. Next is for Mary.
Oh, yes.
And this is the last question.
And if it's a quote, you better throw it to Reese or Matthew.
It's going to be a quote, I'm afraid. What is the Doctor's last line of the episode?
Something about how they were frozen for... 5 centuries, and now they need to be frozen forever.
Yeah. No.
Anybody got to come in with it?
I know.
Go on in, Matthew.
I don't like to make predictions.
There's the correct answer. And the final scores of this week, she won't get this one. In last place with 5 points is Mary. And next with 6 points is Kirby and Wikipedia. Next is Robert with 7 points.
Robert's got points?
With 9 points. It's Reese, and this is a classic Doctor Who story, and he's runner up. And the winner with 16 points, Matthew.
Hear me roar.
Right then. Mary?
Yes.
Would you like to tell me who our sponsors are?
It's
whowon.co.uk.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yay!
Yes. Yay. Yay. Whowon.co.uk?
Yes, it is. Anyway.
That worry in your voice, though, Mary, was noticeable.
Where you can buy all sorts of...
I've always thrown that dot in the wrong place.
All sorts of Doctor Who merchandise. But not tickets to the official 50th anniversary convention, which I will be going to on the 50th anniversary, funny enough.
Gloat. Yeah.
And Deb's planning to go up the day before. Right. So we stay in a Travelodge, and then so we can get in there early the next day. That's her idea.
And I noticed on the one page in the latest Doctor Who magazine is listing all the the Target novels that have been republished and all the Virgin novels that have been republished. Yep. So, any readers out there, they've got all of them.
Yeah, they got the 10th Doctor Sonic Screwdriver, the 4th Doctor's apron. I didn't know the 4th Doctor had an apron. Funny enough,
it's just
The Companions 50 Years of Doctor Who Assistance. That's a book by Alan Andy Frankham. Oh, I think so. Rather. And Countermeasures 2, which is a CD.
Alan Andy Franklin.
Something like that, yeah. So, yes, go to whowon.co.uk, where our sponsors reside. Right, next week we will be looking at Planet of Evil, apparently, unless anybody's got any objections.
Yay.
I love that story.
Oh, so you are going with my suggestions after all.
On this occasion, we will be looking at Planet of Evil. I will hopefully devise a list randomly. What we'll do, we'll devise a list, and then we'll just narrow it down as to what people can actually watch from it. But yes, at the moment, for next week, it's Planet of Evil.
And when are we doing it?
That's what she said. Next week, would I guess...
Would we be doing that on a Sunday?
I would guess it's a Sunday, because it's a Monday this week, unless people don't need to do it on... They want to do it
on
Monday.
Doesn't matter at all to me.
So now Kirby has settled in.
So did you want to do it Monday, then? Hello? Anybody there?
It doesn't matter. It's up to you.
It doesn't matter.
We'll do it Monday, then, as long as everybody's happy with that. We'll do it at the same time next week.
Okay. Why aren't we doing it Sunday?
What are we doing when?
Sounds like Mary wants it on Sunday.
I would like it on Sunday, but...
No, we do. Sunday,
so
if you like.
I get up at 3:30 in the morning.
Okay, we'll do it at 2 o'clock in the morning on Monday. Mm-hmm. Just make it. All right. Right, does anybody, and I'm saying it now, got any objections to it being on Sunday?
No.
Okay.
What time will it be?
Yes.
Well, it normally is. 8 o'clock British summertime, which is about 2 o'clock in the morning for you, I think.
Well, it's 3 p.m. for Eastern time, which would make it 3 a.m. for Robert.
Okay.
2 p.m. for Matthew.
Yeah.
Okay. So
if I'm permitted back on the show next week.
Good grief. Well, have you got some sort of ban?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a message from Ken Deep. Sorry, I've got to check what this says. Remember, he's American, so he may well be a bit more friendlier than the British podcasters, apart from Radio Rassilon, the British podcasters who think I'm rubbish.
I have not heard any of them say that.
No, me neither, and I wonder where you get that.
I haven't heard them say anything to the contrary, either, apart from Radio Rassilon, of course. Anyway, right. He'd like to come on the show.
Really?
Ooh.
Yay!
He just asked me if we record over Skype. That only really requires one word answer, doesn't it?
We record on Skype, not over it.
Did you contact him or did Daphne?
No, I did.
Magic.
Hostess here.
Yes, excellent.
Right, so I've got to. I've got loads to do now. It's terrible. I'd like to carry on podcasting, but unfortunately. I've got to finish off cooking the dog's dinner. I've got to send an email a photograph to Kirsty, who's Isabella's dance teacher, and then go up the park to this
teddy bear's picnic.
I can't even remember if she took a teddy bear with her to school this morning. But never mind. Anyway,
Adam has his picnic.
So thank you, everybody, for being on the show this week. Thank you for listening. I hope that the people who have jumped on board after the Daphne Ashbrook episode are going to stay on board. Do apologise. It's been a bit rushed this week. But unfortunately, it's one of those real-life episodes that got in the way, sort of.
Real life?
Yeah, my real life got in the way of the podcast. Sort of. But in that case I haven't already mentioned, I am going to the official 50th anniversary Doctor Who convention. on the 23rd of November.
Is this how it is when I keep mentioning Concus Cerberus? Is this what it's like for you guys?
Oh, thank you, Matthew. Yes, it is.
All right. Thank you. See you next week.
If so, I do apologize.
No, that's all right. Touchy bye. Bye.
You shall not pass.
Thank you.
We will bye-bye. Survive.
I'm not sure about that.
Doctor Who Podcast is an APB Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk, and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.
Yeah, can I just say, said, I did, we, okay.
Go on.
We were joking.
Yeah, going back to what I was saying, try this one more time.